You see, for me, while I trust God for, or while we are trusting God for more disciples, you can never see the way I preach and tell the amount of people in church. Are you with me? Because every single opportunity I have to raise God's people or minister to God's people, it's a powerful opportunity. Do you know that the entire book of Acts was written to one person? The entire book of Luke and Acts were written to one person called Theophilus. You wouldn't believe it. If you read the first chapter in the book of Luke and the book of Acts, you will know who they were writing to. They're writing to a man. So Luke was one of Paul's accomplices, Dr. Luke. And he had just converted Theophilus to Christ. But Theophilus happened to be a man of great reputation. It seemed as though he was someone in the government. Are you with me? And so, Luke took a leave. He applied for a leave and took a leave from his regular medical practice and took time to gather all the accounts from the apostles and put together the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Now, look at the book of Acts and you'll see the introduction. He says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." What was the former treatise? The book of Luke. Are you with me? So he was like, this treatise of in the book of Acts is a follow-up to the treatise in the book of Luke. Are you getting me? You can put Luke chapter 1 from verse 1. Let's read it from there. I'm just trying to buttress the importance of one person. See, it says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." Verse 2. Read on with me. "Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." Verse 3. "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." Are you seeing this? So that means the entire book of Luke and the book of Acts was a document prepared for one person. Imagine there was no book of Luke and there was no book of Acts. Imagine what would the church be like? We see. See, we will have no idea of too many things. When you understand this, you now know why bringing people to church is not a matter of just come and see what my church looks like. See, especially when your church is a church that focuses on what Christ focuses on. Let me tell you something. There are things you may never know and never hear and never see and never experience if you're not in the right church. Let me give you an instance. Let me take a census. Since you started attending the church, have there been things you have heard that you have never heard before? And there are Christians who will be Christians for 50 years and will never know what we are talking about. They will, if they die and go and meet God, when they are talking about those things in heaven, they are lost. You know, I remember when we started, when we started, if you asked me, if you searched the deepest recesses of my heart, I didn't plan that we'll even have, I didn't see ourselves becoming somewhat like a church setting. Even when you see the name of the church, you will see what I had in mind. It was New Brick Christian Community. I just had this mindset that, okay, we'll have just like a small parlor setting where I'll have like 10 to 15 people I'll be teaching every week, 3 to 4 days every week. Are you with me? I never knew that it will metamorphose and become what it has become right now. So, the reason why we need to reach more people is not for the sake of bragging rights, but for the importance of the message we have. I heard something yesterday from a man of God I respect too much, and it touched me. He said, imagine Jesus died and nobody talked about it. Imagine Jesus died and it was not recorded. Hey, imagine imagine Jesus died, was buried and resurrected, and it was not recorded. Nobody heard it. Nobody talked about it. Do you know that it would be as good as nothing? That means the work of the gospel in Christ Jesus is important. But as important as the work of Christ is, also important is the message of the work of Christ. Did you get what I just said? As important as the work of Christ, so also is the message of the work of Christ. That means the preaching and the teaching of the work of Christ is as powerful as the work of Christ. Meaning, the same way Jesus was serious towards his death, his burial and resurrection, the believer in Christ, or especially the minister and the ministry, must be that serious. That's why for every service, you know, there are some major steps I'm trying to take as a minister. Not because it is convenient, but because I know the seriousness of what I'm carrying. I know it. You may not know, but I know the weight of what I'm carrying. That means my focus must be laser beam focus. Are you with me? You know, my standard is I must have an office in the church. I must have an office at home. I must have an office. I must have a library. I must have two libraries. One at church, one in my residence. Because I know the importance of what I'm carrying. Are you with me? When a doctor makes a mistake and a person dies, he may have killed the flesh. But when a pastor makes an eternal mistake, the mistakes we make spiritually will stay with you for eternity. The Bible says that there is a book of records. We will stand before God. Are you with me? You will stand before God and give account. So, one of the blessings God can give to you is to be in the right place. Are you with me? To be in a church where when you, every service you come for and you stand up, you know that, I got something today. I have moved forward in my walk with the Lord. I have made progress in Christ. Are you with me? I am better. I am stronger. I am wiser in the things of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Ephesians 6 from verse 10 to 18. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, having been blessed by this series so far. Sit, walk, stand. See after me, sit, walk, stand. Somebody messaged me and said, Pastor, I wish this series cannot end. Let's just be going on. But well, spiritually, we have come to the end of it. Yes. So if I cannot finish this teaching series today, I just have to start the next teaching series on Sunday. I have to start it on Sunday. So we'll use the midweek services until we finish this one. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. On Sunday, we are talking about transition, preparing for new chapters. Ephesians 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, everybody with me, 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Glory. Glory. I want a louder response. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. So, already we have talked about, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, right? You remember we've talked about it, right? And then, he says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, before I go into explaining, put on the whole armor of God, I want to explain, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Because many times when we talk about spiritual warfare, some people think that spiritual warfare is a combat between the children of God and the children of the devil, or between the children of God and the dark kingdom. Of course, it's a combat, but it's not the kind of combat we think. We are not trying to fight for victory. We are fighting from victory. And let me explain what that means. You know, the Bible says, for we are more than conquerors, right? And I heard somebody put it brilliantly like this. He said, there are people who are no conquerors at all. They have never won any battle before. They are not. They have never conquered anything. Are you with me? There are people who have fought and have conquered. So those ones are conquerors. Are you with me? And there are people who did not fight, but they won. Are you with me? They are more than conquerors. So for instance, if there was a war and the army went to fight on your behalf, you are not the conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. You send people to represent you. Do you understand that? So when the Bible says that we are more than conquerors, it is that we did not fight, but Christ fought for us and gave us the victory. Do you get that? So if Christ gave us the victory, why is the Bible still saying we wrestle? Are you following me? I want to explain that before we go into the armor of God. Why is the Bible saying we wrestle not against flesh and blood? Is it that after Christ has defeated the devil and he has conquered sin, conquered death, conquered all the powers of darkness, we still have to fight again? Yes and no. And let me explain. Thank God Apostle Paul used that word, we wrestle. Say after me, you wrestle. If you have ever watched what we call modern day wrestling, there is something they do that helps us understand the kind of wrestling that Paul is talking about here. In wrestling, when you fight someone and beat the person and put the person down, you are supposed to keep the person down and count three, right? So you are supposed to count one, two, three, and all of that. And if while you are still counting, the person is able to get back up or resuscitate himself, you have not won. Are you with me? So you beat him, but because you couldn't keep him down, it's as though you did not win. Are you getting me? So in the same way, when he says, we wrestle not against principalities, not against flesh and blood. When he says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, what is he saying? He's saying that Christ has defeated the devil. Our job is to keep him down. Do you get it right now? Christ has beaten the devil. He has destroyed all the works of the devil. But our job is to ensure you are down, remain down. No wonder he says you will trample upon serpents and scorpions. Are you with me? There are many people who, they are not living in the reality of Christ's victory, because even though the devil has been defeated and has been put down, they have not learned to keep him down. Are you with me? So the warfare that we are doing is, when we talk about the whole armor of God, we are talking about the things the believer must do to ensure that the defeated devil remains defeated. Remains what? Defeated. Remains what? Defeated. Oh, I need a better response. Remains what? Defeated. Hallelujah. Praise God. Secondly, I want to also point out, you know, the Apostle Paul was a brilliant teacher. Brilliant teacher. Obviously inspired by God. And also, history has it that he was both an Israelite, he had dual citizenship. He was a Pharisee and he was a Roman. And so, obviously, he would have understood the Roman Empire and the Roman soldiers dressing. Are you with me? Yes, but now he says something in verse 11 and verse 13. He says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In verse 13, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. You know, let me put it like this. For many believers, the warfare with the devil begins in the day of battle. For many believers, warfare is an event. But according to Paul, warfare is a lifestyle. According to Paul, the regalia for warfare is a dress code. It's a dress code that you must have perpetually. It's not something that you use to fight today and you keep. He's telling you that you must have a perpetual victory regalia. There is a perpetual dressing you must have to continuously have victory. As it were, whatever you are doing, whether you are conscious of it or not, you are in battle, so you must be dressed for battle. Yes, are you with me? Yes, whether you are conscious of it or not, you are in battle. So he told you, there is a way you must be dressed. Perpetually, morning, afternoon, night, there is a way you must be dressed. It's called the whole armor of God. Are you with me? The weapons of our warfare, according to Paul, is not something you take in the day of battle. It's something that you are dressed for in the day of battle. Are you with me? It's something that you are dressed for. So that means anything we are going to learn about the armor of God is not something you say, I will do it today because I'm facing a battle and I will not do it tomorrow. Or I will do it next tomorrow because there will be a problem. No, no, no. It's something that when you begin, you will perpetually be like that all the days of your life, because whether you like it or not, there is battle. He told you we wrestle. Not we were wrestling. Not we will wrestle. We wrestle. Whether you wake up in the morning or you wake up in the evening and start sleeping the whole day, you are in a battle. Are you with me? It's a perpetual state of being. It's a perpetual dress code. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, if this armor of God is not there, even though Christ has defeated the devil, sometimes it will seem as though he's having his way. It will seem as though, what is going on? By the time we are done with breaking down this whole armor of God, you will discover, he's just talking about being a correct Christian. What we call the armor of God is nothing separated from being a correct believer. When you are a correct believer, your life, will be a terror. You will be at warfare perpetually, and you will be a constant terror to the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. So he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. The final thing I'm going to talk about before we go into the details of the armor. Look at verse 13. I want you to just feel his temperature. Feel the way he's talking. He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. It's just like you are telling someone who is going for an entrance exam, take your ID card. Make sure you take your ID card. Make sure you take all your documents, but don't forget your ID card. Are you with me? Are you following me? Can you feel that temperature here? He says, see, if you go there, if you beg them without your ID card, they will not let you in. Please, see, on that day of the exam, make sure you don't forget your ID card. Are you with me? Are you getting what I'm saying? It's as though he's telling you that, see, if you are not with your whole armor, I cannot help you on that day. Are you getting me? Or if the person tells you, if you're not with your ID card, we cannot help you. On that day, don't call me. Don't call me on that day. Please don't call me. I will not. My phone will not be available. Make sure you carry your ID card. You didn't hear? So he's telling you, wherefore, do you realize he repeated this thing twice? In verse 11, in verse 13. So this is not something that is optional. Are you with me? Wherefore, take unto you. Tell your neighbor, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Tell your neighbor, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand, that you will be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Ah! You know, there's a way. Have you ever heard people say things like, life is just giving me back blows? Back blows. Like, what is happening? There are some times where the attacks are from outside. You know, okay, you had a challenge at work. You have a challenge with your boss. You have a challenge with your car. You have a challenge with your landlord. Things are just happening. You are losing documents. That's one level. There's another level of challenge that comes from inside. Sometimes you just wake up. You can't explain why you are feeling the way you are feeling. But it's like you're not yourself. You wake up and you feel like doing nothing. You feel like your life is just useless. That's an attack. Do you know that? You cannot pray. You cannot read your Bible. You eat. You feel like the food is testing somehow in your mouth. You are like, what is my life about? You are just pacing the floor. You carry your phone. You are scrolling. You're asking yourself. You know that you ought not to be doing what you are doing, but it's like, what's my life about? You don't seem to make sense of your life. It's like, if you had your way, you could have committed suicide. It's an attack. Are you with me? Is also called an evil day. That's another kind of evil day that comes from within. Sometimes it's external, sometimes it's eternal. If you're not careful, if God does not help you on that day, you will start misbehaving. You will not know when you open your laptop and start watching pornography, start watching nonsense. If you're not careful, you're going to start drinking, carry smoking, moving with friends. By the time the devil is done with you, you know, see here. When you study the Bible, there are people that the devil attacked by external challenges, but there are people that Satan attacked through themselves. When the devil knows that he cannot attack you from outside, he will use you to destroy you. So you must be careful when the devil is trying to use you to destroy you. Look at Samson. Everything they brought from outside, he will break, he will destroy. Gate he will carry, but a day came. Somebody is asking you, what is the secret to your strength? You told the person the first one. The person did exactly what you said. The second time, the person did exactly what you said. Sense should tell you that this person is after you. They are planning you. How did Samson die? Samson, after they plucked off his eyes, he was there. And he said, God, let the stones that will destroy these people, destroy me also, and I will die with them. His strength eventually killed him. I pray for you. The devil will not use you against you. Amen. I pray for you. The devil will not use you against you. Amen. You are strong in every evil day. Amen. You have strength on your inside. Amen. You have strength on your outside. You have strength on your inside. You have strength on your outside. In the name of Jesus. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Am I talking to you? Take unto you the whole armor of God. Then it says in verse 14. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about the truth. We began to talk about that on Sunday, right?
having your loins girt about the truth. Now, he used the picture of the war attire of a Roman soldier to describe the armor of God. The loins of a soldier is like a belt. Old English is saying loins, but it's like a belt. If you use the English standard version, ESV, it says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." And you need to understand what your loins are in your dress code. Let me tell you. For the soldier, the loins is what holds everything above to everything beneath. That belt is what connects the upper part of his dressing to the lower part of his dressing. If the belt is gone, everything falls apart. Are you with me? He says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." ESV says, "Having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." So you must, first of all, you must have a deep grip of the truth. Tell them a deep grip of the truth. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 says, Jesus was speaking. He says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." He says, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Verse 32, everybody. Verse 32. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We read it with a loud voice and shout glory. Read it one more time and with a louder glory, everybody. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Glory! I've taught it here before, but let me say it again. What is the difference between "and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free"? If you look at it closely, popular to what many people quote, it did not say, "ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So what is the difference between being set free and being made free? I'll give an example. For example, a person who has been in prison and is in jail, and his case is being discussed in court. And fortunately for him, while he was in prison, his lawyer won the case in court. And the judge says, from henceforth, he's no longer to be in prison. See, as at when the judge makes that pronouncement, he has been set free, but he's still in prison. Are you with me? Yes, the day the pronouncement was made that he has been freed, he has been what? Set free. Until he hears what has been said about him and is able to act on what was done for him, he cannot be made free. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? So, to be set free is based on what God has done. To be made free is based on what you know about what he has done. So when you know what he has done and can act on what he has done, you will be made free. He says you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Say after me, "I know the truth. I will know the truth. And the truth will make me free." Glory. See, let me tell you something. The real battle in your life is the battle for truth. Hi. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. See, there is a difference between what is true and what is truth. Let me tell you, if you don't understand these things I'm saying, you cannot really enter what we call the realm of real faith men. There is what is true. And there is what is truth. You know, Pilate asked Jesus. Because Jesus said, "I came to bear witness of the truth." And Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" And Jesus said, "I am." Truth is the meaning of a thing according to the intent of the maker. Truth is the meaning of a thing, number one, according to the intent of the maker. Number two, truth is that thing according to the maker that does not change. Hey, Jesus. Oh, my. I hope you'll be able to get what I'm trying to say. Truth is that thing according to the intent of the maker that does not change. So for instance, when God created you, there are things that God has written about you before he created you. Eh? You may come to the earth and you may begin as a baby. You misbehave like this. You go like this. What you are doing on the earth may be true, but what God has written on, in heaven is the truth. Did you get what I said? Okay. Maybe that one is a little complex. Let me come back. Let me use something simpler. Let me use something simpler. If you meet God today and ask God, what do you think about me? And God says, based on what we wrote, you are destined for greatness. You are destined to reshape the world. You are destined. That thing that God wrote is the truth. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
But on ground, you are saying, Lord, I'm believing you for 2K. That may be true. You need urgent 2K is what is true. But what God wrote about you is the truth. Are you getting me? You will know the truth. See, I know I'm being dramatic, but what I'm saying is very important. Because sometimes in your life, you will look at all that's happened around you and it looks true, but it's not the truth. You will look at your life, you're like, what am I? What if they told me that in my family, that thing they said, what if it's true? It may be true, but it's not the truth. Ah. Oh, in my family, nobody goes beyond this level. In my family, nobody can amount to much. Ah, can't you see Uncle Jumbo, Uncle Richard, Brother Sosko? Look at them. It's true. Look at all their lives. All their lives look like the thing that they said was happening in our family. It may be true, but it's not the truth. Are you with me? What is the truth? A glorious high throne is the place of my dwelling from the beginning. What is the truth? He has made me to be seated with him far above principalities and powers. What is the truth? I am complete in him. Who is the head of principalities and powers? What is the truth? He has defeated all things and put it under my feet. Are you with me? That is the truth. The truth is that I cannot be small. Oh, God told Abraham, I have made thee a father of many nations. Abraham had no child and his name was changed. God said, if you can count the stars of heaven, then you can count your children. That was the truth. Are you with me? So you must learn to hold on to the truth. Before we talk about prayer, you must hold on to the truth. Hold on. What is the truth? My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Sickness, you cannot stay. You cannot stay. You cannot stay. Jesus moves within my body. He uproots what is not of God in my body. I have been joined to God. Are you with me? Are you with me? That's the truth. Oh, I am a fruitful vine. Nothing fails in my hand. But at this point, you don't seem to have gotten a job. You don't seem to, but what is the truth? Now, let me tell you something. Check the Bible. Every time the devil came face to face with people, it was to steal the truth from them. Should I prove it to you? Who did the devil tempt, attack directly, face to face? Give me two people in the Bible. Number one, Eve. Number two, Jesus. Let's start with Jesus. Jesus just finished the baptism with John. What did God say to Jesus at the baptism? Thou art my beloved son. Are you with me? In whom I'm well pleased. He goes to the desert to pray. Satan comes and says, if thou be the Son of God, are you with me? Convert these stones to bread. Oh my God. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You just came for service. They said this and this and this about you. You received it on Monday. If truly you are man and a conqueror, why are you not having what you are? Are you with me? Why is the testimony not manifested? After a while, he will begin to make you to cast away the truth. Are you following me? The first work of the devil is to get you to the point where you no longer believe God. It's something that happens in your heart. It says, cast not away your confidence. See, for our sisters believing God to get married here, if you're not careful, you start making you believe that maybe you are not fine enough. Maybe you are not good enough. Maybe you are being too picky. Maybe you are being too serious about your faith. Must it be a Christian guy? Must it be a devoted brother? See, I want to tell you, our dear sisters, don't settle. Are you with me? Don't settle for what you know is not of God. Don't settle. Say after me, I believe the truth. He says, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Make you doubt everything that God has said. Make you to begin to question God. Maybe God did not really mean what he said. Are you with me? After many times when you think about all the prophecies that have been said over your life, and you look at your life right now, it's like they don't match. The real work now is to hold on to the truth until the truth becomes true. Are you with me? Same thing with Eve. Hey. Did God really say you should not eat of the fruits? He wants to bring you to the point where you no longer believe the truth from God. That's the first warfare. Are you with me? Are you with me? 2 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 1. We're going to read verse 3 alone. 1 to 3 go. It says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Read that thing again. Ah, Jesus. Hey. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So the Bible says, in John chapter 1, from verse 11 to 12, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, which were born, not of the will of the flesh, are you with me? Not of blood, not of the will of man, but of God. That means, when we got born again, we have become born of God, are you with me? We have become part of God's family, right? The possibilities of God's family have become our possibilities, right? Yes, now, you become age 35 and you discover, my life is not panning out according to the things that happen to those who belong to God's family. Or maybe at the age of 30 or 25 or 20, you just start seeing some things in your life. What is going on? Then you go and meet your father. Your father says, 200 years ago, there were missionaries that passed our village. And you see, those missionaries were preaching, and then some of your forefathers arrested them and killed them. Since then, their blood has been crying vengeance. Vengeance! That is why your life... You know, say, but I am of God. When you believed in God, you are not born of blood. You are not born of the will of the flesh. You are not born of the will of man, but of God. Father said, leave that thing. I know that's what they told you in church, Abby. Leave all those new creations, something. I'm telling you fact. But I want to ask you, all the people that were doing slave trade in America, they are not cursed, Abby. Answer me. They are not cursed, Abby. You have to tell yourself, the simplicity of Christ. What does the Bible say? He came unto his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, have I received him? Reply me. Have you received him? Have you received him? That means I am not born of the will of the flesh. I'm not born of the will of blood. That means anything that was connected to me by the blood of man, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I have been disconnected from it. Come, please. Am I in the right service? Hey. Any pattern that was connected to me through my family lineage, because I am born again, I am no longer in that lineage. Are you with me? I am not born of blood again. I am born of the life of God. That means the life of God has become my possibility. The possibilities of the life of God has become my possibilities. He says, be careful lest anybody remove you from the simplicity in Christ. Because let me tell you something. There is a place of casting out demons, but there is a place of casting out thoughts. Because if you cast out demons and you don't cast out thoughts, the thought is strong enough to be called a stronghold. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, just a chapter backward. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, when you read this verse, what are the strongholds? You'll be thinking that is talking about the witches in your village. Do we pull down witches? Yes. But when you have finished pulling down witches, like we talked about on Sunday, authority. After you have pulled down witches, by the authority in the name of Jesus, you must pull down thoughts also. Are you with me? Verse 5. Casting down what? Imagination. Do you realize you use the same word? We cast out devils, we cast out imaginations. Let me tell you, you have to learn how to cast out imaginations. Thoughts, you just be somewhere, you thought just in your head, bam. What if you never marry? Hey! I cast you out. You just tell yourself, you see, me, I will have 3 children. In fact, 4 to mesmerize the devil. 2 boys, 2 girls, you start naming them. That means for me to have 4 children, I will be married. Oh, yes. Me and my husband, we will do things for God. You begin to imagine. So you cast out imaginations. That imagination of how you will be, you will not start thinking, how will I adjust as a single 40-year-old lady? I call for it. Kai! You will marry well. I will join you. Just picture Pastor David Jebotai standing like this. By the authority vested on me, I join you to your beloved husband and your beloved wife. Then picture with an agbada like this, carrying your child, rocking your child. For that, your name is David Junior. Do you understand me? Begin to picture it. Are you with me? So I'm casting down imaginations. I was reading a document. Psychologists were talking about the Second World War. They discovered that, oh God, when I want to say what I want to say, listen, psychologists discovered that more people died at home than the number of soldiers that died in the field during the World War. So they were trying to research why. They found out that people died more of fear than people died from bullets. You didn't hear what I just said. Because people were overwhelmed by the trauma of the war. They saw nothing to live for, so their spirits gave up. Oh, yes. And there were people who were in the war that saw a reason to come back home and fought through. Oh, my God. You don't understand what I just said. More people died by the fear of the war than the war itself. Are you with me? I'm not rushing this thing. I'm taking my time to break it down. As a pastor like me, I have to cast out imaginations. What if we reach a point now? We don't have money again to do anything. Ta! I will always have resources. I can never be stranded. Never. Are you with me? I see. Cast out imaginations. And guess what? You have to feel. You don't just cast out imaginations. You must put the imagination of the things you want to see. Oh, yes. Are you with me? Let me give you an example that you should never forget. All of you have experienced before. Have you thought so much about something negative you began to feel it? What if something just come and hits me? Something just come and hit this place now. What if Amberba just come? Bah! Where will I jump from? You thought about it so much, it's as if somebody hit you physically. Who has experienced that kind of thing before? That's to tell you that even when you are not conscious, your imagination is creating. So the devil can play with your imaginations. Why? What I want to use is a vulgar example. Somebody is in front of TV watching pornography. He's not with a woman, no, just him and the TV. Before you know, his body starts reacting to what his eyes are seeing. That's to tell you how dangerous imagination is. So you have to be careful what is entering your mind. What is entering your mind? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what's in my mind. I see this place over flooded. I see Pastor Ekene coming saying, Pastor, we need to move out of this place. Overflow 1 to 8 is covered. Yeah. Just picture it with me. Picture it from this tent now to the gate. Put LED screens. Hallelujah. People are sitting down. Put picture people in the picture people in the field. Picture all these parts as LED screen. Picture it. Picture it. I say, hey, Joshua, go and lay hands on people. I can't lay hands on everybody. Go, Minister Owen, stand up. Go and lay hands. Go and cast out the devil from that person. Picture it. Picture it. Pastor, the wheelchairs are many. There are many. Somebody has stood up from this wheelchair. Pastor, somebody is running after. Look at Pastor. Something is happening. Picture it. Are you with me?
Yes,
picture commotion of miracles.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Picture yourself standing with me in front of that property. Pastor, this is our new office complex. And I'm standing with anointing oil. I say, Father, we give you praise. Yes, I thank you because you are raising captains of industry. Picture yourself doing in that global conference. White men are listening to you, and you have to send me the link. Pastor, I am currently speaking at the United Nations Global Assembly, UNGA 2028. Pastor, just speak a word right now. Picture yourself as Minister of Finance in this country. Picture yourself. Are you with me? Pictures of yourself coming to church with soldiers. Ah, my God. Oh, it's like, am I too far from you? Picture yourself now sending 10 people to school. 15 to school. In this Abuja, you rent houses out too. People will be paying you rent for your own houses. I thought I would hear a louder amen. Oh, you have not gone to school. Picture yourself convocating, yes, doing your PhD, doing your master's.
Yes, sir.
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself above the knowledge of God. Look at Colossians 2 from verse 8. So, you must have a grip on the truth. You must intentionally know the truth. Speak the truth. pray the truth and drive the truth into your heart. Oh, are you sick here? You take scriptures and begin to declare. Lay hands on your head. My body is the temple of the Most High. I have strength in my body. I have strength in my body. I am the healed of God. This body is the temple of the Lord. I am joined to him. I am a member of his flesh and of his bones. I am a member of the flesh of Christ and the bones of Christ. Yes, in my body, the power of God flows through my... See, you know, I've been emphasizing things like this because I'm trying to make you solid men. We are living in a generation of... There are too many half-baked people. They don't know what it means. See, you don't know what it means to hold God with tenacity. You know what it means to hold God with tenacity? Men that said, God, I believe you. I believe you. See, you. Bible says faith pleases God. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I believe God. Hey! Hey! For 18 years, Idawosa was going to his betting spot every day in Edo State and saying, Benson Idawosa University will be here. He said, sir, how you go take up on? He said, it will be here. In fact, let me tell you something. If you can stay on one thing and believe God for that thing, for more than 3 years, it must come to pass. It must. So, as a Christian, you must have what is called big dreams and present dreams. So there are things you want in your life for the now. Maybe you want a job, you want a better this. Just things that you want for the now. So for instance, for now, I can say, Lord, we need 100 million for a immersion camp. We want more ACs. We want more this. We want more light. That can be like my... But there are things in my spirit that are bigger than the current things. Lord, I thank you because I'll be holding crusade in all nations of this world. Are you with me? Those are big burdens. Lord, I thank you because in Abuja, New Breed City is the reality. I thank you. 200 acres of land is somewhere for us here. He big for you. I'll be... 200 acres of land. Is inside me. Are you with me? Especially when it is looking like, how shall these things be? Another thing you can do to make it enter more, add fasting. Have you added fasting with the word of God? As you are praying and fasting, say this thing, Lord, it's coming to pass. So last verse for today, Colossians chapter 2, from verse 8 to 15. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10. Jump on your feet and read verse 10. Say after me, I'm complete in him. Now, remember what I was talking to you about the truth and true, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. To you, you are the one looking for a wife, looking for a husband. To God, you are complete. That means in God. Now, it doesn't mean that God is comfortable with you not having those things. It is that in God's mind, whatever you ought to have, you already have. Are you with me? So you can say, I have my children. I have my spouse. Don't form like you don't want to marry. Or talk, or the anointing is working for you. I have my spouse. I have my children. I have my contracts. I have my properties. Now, let me train you to use the word of God even for spiritual things. I have my disciples. I walk in miracles. I walk in wisdom. I walk in signs and wonders. I have the belt of truth. I cast down every imagination of the devil. I am what God says I am. I am what God says I am. I am going to school. I am making progress. Nothing can stop me. Glory! Ah, put 2 Corinthians 10. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself above the knowledge of Christ. Are there things that they are trying to act like they are bigger than your prayer life? They are bigger than the name of Jesus. It is not true. Say after me, it's a lie. Ah, yeah. It's a dirty lie. Hey! My God. Whether the devil likes it or not, Newbury Christian Community, we are a city without walls. Will you say amen? We are making many mighty. Say it again, we are making many mighty. Maybe you came like a charlatan, you will live as a champion. Pray in the spirit right now. I am complete in him. Meaning in him, nothing is lacking. All that is lacking is coming. All that is lacking is coming. To your name, he who dwells in light, surrounded by the cherubims, surrounded by the cherubims. Glory to your name, he who dwells, he who dwells. Surrounded by the cherubim, surrounded by the cherubim. Glory to your name. He who dwells, he who dwells in light, surrounded by the cherubim, surrounded by the cherubim. Glory to your name, he who dwells in light, surrounded by the cherubims, surrounded by the cherubims. Glory to your name, he who dwells. Spirit, let me show you one verse of the Bible. Under this belt of truth, it says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Hey, Kayata, be of good cheer. I believe God. I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. It shall be that I will have my children. It shall be that I will have my spouse. It shall be that I've made massive progress. I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. Do you believe God?